This hour of Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson is brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans. Now back to Spears and Ali on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD, Channel 4, ESPN Tucson.
It's hump day, baby.
It's only considerate. You have to be considerate to Fergie.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree.
And for our podcast listeners, we are listening to, is it My Humps by Fergie?
Yeah.
Is it, or is it the Black Eyed Peas?
The Black Eyed Peas.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Fergie's obviously leading the show in that song.
I mean, there's a guy named Will I Am that's kind of the lead singer of the Black Eyed Peas.
It's not Mike Tomlin?
No.
I always thought he was. That's what he did in the offseason.
No, it's
okay.
What's his name? Omar Epps.
Omar Epps.
Yeah. I got to tell you, man, I have not had one of these dreams in a long time where I'm like place myself in a like a role of being like doing something like playing for a team or like with random people going somewhere. And I listen to podcasts at night when I sleep. That's how I get all my sports knowledge. I listen to sports shows while I'm sleeping. Subconsciously, I gain knowledge. And so it might have been something I was listening to. But, dude, I had the most vivid dream that I'm playing for the University of Arizona basketball team, and I came to the rescue. I dropped 35 on Princeton. We have, like, a banquet after. Like, we're sitting outside on benches. Everybody's, like, giving me pats on the head and on the shoulder. Good job. And I'm just, like, I'm just smiling from ear to ear. I'm like, yeah, we're going to the second round, baby. Don't know why. Haven't thought about that game in quite a while, but – you're welcome, Wildcat Nation. In my dreams, I won the game. And then...
Now, the question is, the Princeton players, were they the same guys that beat Arizona?
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're playing against Tulsa?
And the thing is, it was so vivid. Like, I'm, like, talking smack to some of these guys, you know, some of these Niemers. And
these Niemers?
I've just not had a dream like that in a while. And then I'm like, okay, I wake up, and then I go back to sleep. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in the passenger seat of, like, some sort of SUV.
Your best friend's ride?
I don't know.
But you ain't no scrub, that's for sure.
You got that right. And Davis Love III, the golfer, is driving. And in the back seat on the left side is Tiger Woods. And we're driving to Augusta. And Davis Love is trying to convince Tiger that you can actually drive the car all the way to the players' locker room. That's the way you're supposed to do it. And Tiger is not certain. And then finally Davis Love does it. We get there. And all I can think about is, man, I can't believe I'm at Augusta and I'm walking in the players' locker room. I got to take some pictures for my brothers so they know that I'm here and how cool this is. And then I woke up. So I don't know what happened. Maybe it was the salmon at Wildflower last night. It got my dreaming juices flowing, but it's a couple of crazy dreams. I haven't had those in quite a while.
I was going to say, were you listening to, like, Titus and Tate while you were dreaming about the NCAA tournament game? And then all of a sudden, that podcast ended, and then the Foreplay podcast started, talk about golf, and then all of a sudden, you're listening to them talk about it, and then you're dreaming about these sports while you're doing it? I don't
it's
know.
It's possible.
But,
I actually think
Davis
that's
Love.
Probable. Davis Love III.
Third, that's so
where
random.
Did that come from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, anyway...
And the part that stuns me the most out of all the things that you just told me or told us is that Tiger Woods uncertain about where he's supposed to park at Augusta National.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're Tiger freaking Woods.
You think he would know, right?
You should know all of this information. And even if you want to be, you know, kind of like a prima donna, you know, nobody likes the guy that acts like he's better than everyone else. But you're Tiger freaking Woods. You can literally pull up to Augusta National, give someone your key, and then your car will be safely parked.
Justin, Davis Love III and I were telling Tiger exactly that. It's like, Tiger, how do you – you should know, buddy. And then, yeah, it was like a total in-your-face when we got to the little roundabout.
Yeah.
And we were right by the players' locker room.
Were you guys talking about my dinner?
I got to know. Your dinner –
my champion's dinner?
I didn't dream for 42 hours straight to go through your entire menu.
Those chicken sliders, man.
But, you know, I thought it'd be a little bit more prestigious. I was a little bit...
You're underwhelmed?
A little underwhelmed by Augusta in my dreams.
Did you play Augusta at least, or you just remember the locker room part?
No, I mean, I was just like, I walked in the locker room and, you know, it's time to do Spears and Ali in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest, strangest dream you've ever had? Obviously, keep it FCC appropriate. We prefer it to be sports related. What's a crazy dream that you've had? Call in at 719-1490, 719-1490. Also, keep that phone number handy, because at the end of the show today, we're giving away tickets for the Centurions event. Is it Fast Times at Centurions High?
Yeah.
Don't be a Spicoli.
No, be a Spicoli.
Be a Spicoli.
Don't be a Mr. Hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still learning.
I mean, look,
I need to watch the movie.
It's your time, and it's my time. Doesn't that make it our time?
Yeah.
All right. Sure. So in our time, I'm going to order a pizza in class. And then Mr. Hand's like, okay, in our time, when you order pizza in the class, it's our pizza. I wish you knew what I was talking about.
No
clue.
But
you know what? The intelligent people that listen to our show out there are all having a little chuckle, reminiscing about one of the iconic movies of all time, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And the Centurions party is going to be a lot of fun. I understand 38 Special is going to be performing.
They are.
And they always put on a good party. And if you like to go to a really, really good party, have fun with your friends, your loved ones, your fellow citizens, and know that all the money that goes to that event goes to nonprofits, local charities, people that need and utilize the money to make our community a better place. It is the place for you. 2023 Centurions event, Fast Times at Centurions High, starring Justin Spears, and then 38 Special.
And these local charities include TMC for Children, Imago Dei, Grace Retreat, and Assistance League. So let's talk some basketball, shall we?
Let's do it.
The Hall of Fame class was finalized. The 2023 Basketball Hall of Fame will include Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Greg Popovich, Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, and Becky Hammond. And Shaquille O'Neal has ruined the way I look at the name Dirk Nowitzki, because Andrew and I actually talked about this yesterday. Recently, Shaquille O'Neal, I think, went on NBA TV, and the host on it just kept saying, like, okay, our next guest, he wants me to call him by a different name, but he won't actually talk until I call him by this name, and it's Shaq. And Shaq's just standing there with a piece of paper over his face, and he's like, say it, or I won't do it. Andrew actually has a clip up. Here it is.
I'm not saying it.
You gotta say it, or I'm not doing it.
He wants me to use his new nickname, but I just...
Say it.
You gotta say it.
He wants me to introduce him as Dirk Nowitzki, and I don't think that I could.
There, Chris. Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk Nowitzki.
The worst. All right,
Dirk Nowitzki. My favorite similar moment to that is a clip of Shaquille O'Neal playing pickup basketball with his sons, and he makes a three-pointer, and he's running down the court, and he's like, I'm the black Steph Curry.
Did he
get Shaq?
Did he get those ideas from you? Because there was a show we did about, I don't know, 2 months ago, and you're like, I'm not talking on the air until you call me the name I want you to call me. And I'm like, dude, I'm not calling you that. And you're like, do it, do it. All right. Ginger Gasol.
Ginger Gasol. I actually do like that name.
Yeah.
Double G, baby.
That's right.
What do you think about Gasol getting into the Basketball Hall of Fame? Yeah. I figured, you know, he would get there eventually, but man, what a year for him. Getting his number retired next to his late great friend Kobe Bryant, and then getting inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's a great year for Pau Gasol. And I mean, great player. I mean, when you talk about Pau Gasol in the prime of his career, it was like a golden era of power forwards. You have Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki, and you have players like Pau Gasol and Kevin Garnett. Like, that generation of power forwards was, again, the golden era of power forwards. Now, we have a lot of great power forwards now, but those guys right there kind of set the bar for the new age of power forwards. And Pau Gasol was a big reason why the game has evolved with the big men.
Yeah, and great, you know, as a Laker too. Fan, you know, you look back with it with a lot of fondness. And, you know, Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant were just an amazing 1-2 punch. I still can't believe that the Lakers got him from Memphis, and neither can a lot of other executives in the NBA who are really pissed that Memphis made that trade. But, you know, it ended up, well, of course, you're a Lakers fan.
Well, and we got rid of Kwame Brown, too.
We got rid of, and
he's a bona fide scrub.
But when you judge these trades in real time and then you look back, there's quite a difference, because one of the guys that the Lakers traded for Pau Gasol was his brother, Marc Gasol.
I forgot about that.
And Marc Gasol actually had a very good career for the Memphis Grizzlies and a very good NBA career. So when you look back in hindsight, it was a pretty even trade. I do have a bit of trivia for you guys. I learned this on Tuesday, and I wasn't on the show Tuesday, but it's Wednesday, so I'm here. Do you know who the all-time assist leader is for the San Diego State men's basketball team?
Is it Kawhi Leonard?
Nope. You have any? You have no idea.
Okay. Who is it?
It's Tony Gwynn.
What?
Tony Gwynn.
Baseball player Tony Gwynn?
Baseball player Tony Gwynn.
You sure it's not like Antonio Gwynn and they just called him Tony?
Baseball player Tony Gwynn played basketball and baseball at San Diego State, and he still remains to this day the all-time assist leader for the Aztecs.
You got to hit him with the more you know. Hockey, man.
Crazy, right?
That's a fun stat. Yeah, I like that.
I like it, too. I thought you would enjoy that one.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Like, any time someone asks me, like, name a random stat that no one really talks about, the one that immediately comes to mind is the fact that Larry Fitzgerald has more tackles than drops in the NFL. But Tony Gwynn being the all-time assist leader, I think that might take the cake.
Right.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Happy International Piano Day. I gave you a little bit of trivia in honor of that day.
All right, Ali.
Chopsticks. We're playing a little chopsticks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you know any piano songs?
Did I say chopsticks?
You said chopsticks. Yeah. Chopsticks is probably the most generic one, right?
That's pretty much it, man.
Any other ones?
Yeah, chopsticks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to other NBA stuff. So we know about the Hall of Fame class: Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Greg Popovich, Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, and WNBA star Becky Hammond, who's now the head coach of the Las Vegas Aces, was Greg Popovich's longtime assistant. The official class will be announced during the Final Four on Saturday. But I don't know if you've been paying attention with this Kevin Durant, Charles Barkley situation, Ali. So, Andrew, if you get this ready, Charles Barkley went on 60 Minutes, and he was asked about Kevin Durant and this generation of players. And this is what Charles Barkley had to say about that.
Kevin Durant.
He's very sensitive, great player. He's part of that generation who think he can't be criticized. He's never looked in the mirror and says, man, was that a fair criticism?
We're in agreement. Today's players are a little more sensitive to criticism than your
generation.
That
would be an understatement.
Interesting. I do agree that a lot of players nowadays are very sensitive. But to just sit there as an older figure in the sport and say, oh, these guys are sensitive, we were never that way, this generation is very sensitive, I'm like, well, how come you have Isaiah Thomas asking Michael Jordan for a public apology for a beef that's older than a lot of people listening to the show right now, right? Like, older than Andrew, older than I. Like, the beef that has been going on for, what, 30 years now? And Isaiah Thomas is like, oh, what Michael Jordan said on The Last Dance, I want a public apology. How about Michael Jordan not talking to Charles Barkley because Chuck decided to criticize his friend on his ownership in the NBA? Said, hey, he's a great player, but man, he sucks as an owner. And like, I think that's a fair statement. I mean, you look at what the Bobcats / Hornets have done with Michael Jordan as their owner. They haven't done squat. And yet Michael Jordan refuses to talk to Charles Barkley. The greatest basketball player of all time refuses to talk to Charles Barkley because of something that man said on TNT. I do agree with the whole burner accounts of Kevin Durant. Yes, he can be a little sensitive. I can be sensitive sometimes too. I mean, shoot, the way that one guy came at me on Twitter a couple weeks ago at the Pac-12 tournament, like, he had a whole thread dedicated to just hating on me. And I'm not going to lie to you, I read that and that cut, man. So in today's social media world, I get why these dudes can't be sensitive. And yes, I do agree that this generation of players are sensitive, but you can't tell me that 90s and 80s players weren't sensitive. To me, it just seems like we got a classic case of an older generation hating on the new guys, which shouldn't be the case, man. You guys should be uplifting each other. You're a guy like Charles Barkley. You're a former MVP. You've competed at the highest level. You could recognize a guy like Kevin Durant and appreciate his greatness, but you're hating on him. I love Chuck, man. I love Charles Barkley, but I kind of disagree with him on this one.
Well, I think the generational, back in my day, conflict discourse has been happening for thousands of years, and it'll happen for the next 1,000 years. Kevin Durant, 30 years from now, will be talking about the players of that era and how they somehow don't, you know, meet the standard of when he was playing. We've played this record, like I said, for thousands of years. I mean, it's been, you know, the Romans played it about, you know, the Greeks before them, and then, you know, keep going. The 1900s about, you know, the new guys in the mid-30s, this Great Depression. Oh, you think this is bad? You should have been around in 1901.
Yeah.
I mean, the train robbers were taking over our country. It's
kissing Kate Barlow, man.
I don't know who Kate Barlow is, but
she was a high-profile train robber.
In the 1900s?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, look at you.
According to the movie Holes.
Oh, come on.
Sorry to disappoint you. I should have just kept it going, right? Ollie come back on Friday and be like, you know what? I looked up this Kissing Kate Barlow, Justin. You got some damn explaining to
Apparently she's a Disney property.
Yeah. But I think, you know, there's the one thing that I would say, she was on Family Guy. That's how Justin knows who she is. One thing I will say is maybe, I mean, technology always changes, but one thing that maybe make it more acute these days is social media. And, you know, like I told you, I would tell Kevin Durant, you know, just Twitter's not real. Get off. I mean, you don't need to respond to bots or people that hide behind false personas and you don't know who they are, because people say the dumbest, stupidest, sometimes meanest things when they don't have to account for it's coming from me. No, it's coming from XYZ456. And if you don't put your name on things, then what you say doesn't matter.
Coming up next on Spears and Ali, Matt Babcock from Draft Digest will talk to us about Azulis Dubelis maybe going to the NBA draft. How does he compare to some of the other prospects in the draft, and where will he land if he decides to go to the NBA, or should he come back? We ask Matt coming up next here on Spears and Ali.
Spears.
Justin Spears, I like that.
And Ali.
I want to be entertaining, but I'm not stupid enough to compare myself to Ali.
We'll be right back on 1490 AM. ESPN Tucson.
What should Azulis Dubelis do? Should he go to the NBA, or should he stay another season at the University of Arizona? We asked our good friend and NBA draft expert, Matt Babcock from Draft Digest, who joins us here on ESPN Radio. Matt, always a pleasure talking basketball with you. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. I'm out here in Houston. Got a big week of hoops. Had McDonald's last night. And USA Basketball's got a minicamp Friday, and then obviously Final Four. So living my best life right now.
Well, before we get to Azulis Dubelis and where he projects in this year's NBA draft, if he does go, what were your thoughts on the McDonald's All-American game last night, especially a guy like Bronny James, who a lot of people have maybe been skeptical about considering where he comes from, but man, he looks like the real deal.
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, you know, not only the game, but you know, I've been to a couple of the practices this week, and the tone's been very different than your typical All-American setup. I mean, the guys were competitive start to finish, and that really showed in the game last time. It was very, you know, everybody got after him. It was real basketball. This wasn't for the cameras. There wasn't much showboating going on. So, I mean, that was refreshing to see. I hope it's a new trend, you know, in grassroots basketball, because we definitely need it. In regards to Bronny, obviously he's got so much hype with, you know, with his dad being LeBron, and I don't necessarily think the hype or the expectations are set are necessarily fair. I mean, I saw, you know, ESPN, they've got him as a top 10 projected pick. I'm not on the same page with that, but I will give him credit. He's gotten a lot better. I mean, I've watched him since his freshman year in high school. And, he's really improved. I mean, he's, you know, really good outside shooter, good defender, very explosive. But at the end of the day, he's a 6'2 shooting guard. So he's on the smaller side, doesn't have a whole lot of ball skills. So, you know, I want to be careful personally as an NBA draft analyst of not being part of the problem of overhyping him. But he's definitely on the upward trend for sure.
I'm curious where you think he'll be playing basketball in the next year, because, you know, he's got to play a year before he goes to the NBA draft. Do you think he goes the G League route? Do you think he goes up to, you know, Phil Knight at Oregon? Does he go to Ohio State where LeBron James always wanted to play? I'm wondering where guys like you think Bronny James will go.
You know, there's been some rumblings that Australia was a possibility. I personally don't think that will happen. It's just my best guess. I don't have a whole lot of insider information. But like what I would bet on would be USC. I know Isaiah Collier is really recruiting them hard. Obviously, the family's there in L.A. I mean, it seems like it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, LeBron and Savannah seem like they're, you know, very in tune with what he's doing. Going, you know, being as many games as possible. So that would be my bet, is that he goes to USC.
Hey, Matt, turning to Azulis Tubelas with the University of Arizona, you know, there's a lot of speculation that he may come back, he may stay, he could maybe make more money staying than going and ending up in the G League. You got your ear to the ground. What are you hearing about the possibility of Azulis Tubelas going to the NBA draft as opposed to staying for one more year at Arizona?
You know, I mean, he had such a great year, I mean, individually and as a team, you know, before the tournament at least. And, you know, it's really tough deal right now because, you know, evaluating these top college players, especially big men, and how they translate to the league, it's just really changed in recent years. And I think Zoo's somewhat of a victim of that, of the change of style in the NBA. I mean, he would have fit more of the old school physical, you know, kind of being a rugged power forward. If I were to advise them, I would say, hey, you know, testing the waters would be fine. I mean, all it takes is one team to essentially give you the wink-wink deal that you're looking for. But my bet would be whether he tests the waters or not, I think it probably makes the most sense of going back to school for another year.
Matt, let me ask you this, and I really hesitate to ask you because I don't want to put it out there in the ionosphere, the stratosphere, no spheres. But I am curious about this. If a guy like Kylan Boswell tests the NBA waters, do you think that it's possible that he would be one of these potential guys that an NBA team would take a chance on?
Yeah, you know, I've had a number of conversations with parents and agents and players and whatnot, with guys that are kind of in that boat where it's like, hey, we're all projecting them, you know, to be NBA players. They might not be ready yet. And what would it take? And that's sort of a scenario. Can you test the waters? You know, do you try and get a verbal, guarantee, you know, for be a first round pick? Now you got a real decision to make. I personally don't think Kylan should do that. I do think, you know, theoretically, yeah, that's a possibility as far as if he were to test the waters, would a team, you know, give him a promise? Yeah, but having known, you know, gotten to know Kylan and his dad, I would be surprised if they did that. I mean, when he reclassified, I, from my understanding, the plan was at least a 2-year plan at Arizona.
Matt Babcock, senior NBA draft analyst from Draft Digest and also host of the Matt Babcock Show, joining Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson. So going back to Azulis Tubelas, Matt, we talk about NBA comparisons, and of course, you know, the one that comes to mind is Domantas Sabonis, the left-handed Lithuanian. They're identical players. Domantas Sabonis has carved out a very great NBA career. How can Azulis Tubelas maybe follow that? What about Domantas Sabonis makes him a great NBA player?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really good comp. I think Sabonis is probably a little bit bigger. I know Zoo, they have him listed at 6'11". I don't think he's quite that big in reality. So I think that's one slight difference. But yeah, similar style. And you know, I think with Sabonis, I mean, he's a guy that's really kind of becoming an exception to the things I'm saying as far as not being a guy that fits the modern game that well. But you can't deny his production. And so, yeah, I mean, if I'm, like, for example, if I were an agent and I'm representing Azulis, that's exactly what I would be promoting. Be like, hey, you could nitpick as much as you want. At the end of the day, you can't deny the production. You know, I mean, he was so productive for the Cavs this year. You know, I mean, I think it's going to be somewhat of an uphill battle just because guys like myself and NBA scouts, you know, are looking for certain, you know, styles of play, especially from the big man position. And he doesn't check those boxes right now, but you know, he definitely has a shot because he's just, you know, he's a ball player.
Because at the end of the day, it's really all about fit, right? Because I keep hearing people say that, oh, Azulis Tubelas, he needs to develop an outside game. He needs to be more of a three-point shooter. And yes, it helps to have those dimensions to your game. But, you know, I look at the Denver Nuggets, for an example. No one's talking about Aaron Gordon at the power forward position being this elite three-point shooter. He's a guy who slashes to the basket. He's a rebounder and a great defensive player. Azulis Tubelas is not nearly at the same level defensively as a guy like Aaron Gordon, but I feel like eventually he'll be able to find his niche and find a role, even if it doesn't include a three-point shot.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you bring up two good points, or alluded to good points, as far as, you know, at that position, you know, floor spacing, it does matter. I mean, especially when it's a guy, I mean, you know, with Azulis, he makes the NBA, I mean, there's a good chance he's never the best player on the court ever again. And even though that might sound harsh, it's probably the truth for a guy that's, you know, going to be a role player. And so in those cases, a lot of these coaches in the NBA want big men that can shoot the ball just enough so that the defense has to guard them. And, you know, I mean, Azulis is capable of shooting some shots from outside. It's definitely not pure. If he's able to clean that more, that definitely adds value. I would say the biggest issue is probably on the defensive end. You know, and for comparing to Aaron Gordon is an elite athlete. And Azulis, you know, foot speed isn't great. I mean, he's really probably more of an undersized five for the way the NBA is played. And so these are some of the things that, you know, we're all kind of juggling out of, like, you know, we know their issues. How big of an issue, you know, are they?
Yeah.
Man, I'm wondering, you know, being at the McDonald's All-American game and with the changing landscape in college athletics, especially when it comes to NIL, is how much each player's getting wherever they're going and what schools are all in from a monetary standpoint. Is that something that's outwardly spoken about?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, and the thing about it is, behind closed doors, it's been like this forever. It's just everything was under the table. And so, I mean, these top schools with the most resources get the best players. That's nothing new. It's just it's getting a little bit more, you know, a lot more cleaned up, you know, more professional. You know, and all these schools, I mean, they're really rallying the troops with their collectives. You know, so I think it's a great thing. And you know, and it's also giving some schools sort of a fair shot, too, if they're able to kind of do things professionally. I mean, for example, I mean, Arizona missed out on Cody Williams, which still just kind of ticks me off, losing a, you know, in-state kid like that. But, you know, Tad Boyle is known for being, you know, squeaky clean, everything by the book. And because things are a little bit more, you know, more of a fair playing ground, I mean, he's able to get a five-star player.
All right, Matt, before we let you go, the Final Four is this weekend. We talked about the, you know, the parity in college basketball. We got a 9 seed, a couple of 5 seeds, and a 4 seed in the tournament. Are there any NBA draft players that you're keeping an eye on this week?
Oh, absolutely. I would say UConn is the team to watch. I mean, Jordan Hawkins has been somebody that's been on the NBA radar all year, and he just seems like he's skyrocketing. I mean, there's some NBA guys here talking about him being a potential lottery pick now, which I don't know if I'll have him quite that high or not when I do my first mock draft for Draft Digest Sports Illustrated in a couple of weeks. But he's probably the top prospect. Another kid, the kid Andre, the swing man for UConn, kind of a point forward. He's another guy to watch. Those are two guys I'm going to have a keen eye on.
Matt, before we let you go, you're doing a lot of things. What can you tell us about all of your adventures and podcasts that you're doing?
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, I've been, you know, worked as an agent for a long time, but I've been an NBA draft analyst the last handful of years. I'm just taking over all of my coverage to Sports Illustrated. It's a new channel called Draft Digest. All of my content, rankings, mock drafts, will be on their will be premium content of the site called Draft Digest Pro, and we are launching that April 10th. Nice. And then we've got my podcast, the Matt Babcock Show. I think we've got like 15 episodes or so, and just kind of sharing a lot of stories of, you know, growing up in basketball, working in basketball, and then just sort of like my journey as an NBA draft analyst. And we actually just started to travel and do in person interviews with draft prospects. I did it with the Thompson twins from Overtime Elite recently, and I've got a lot of the top draft prospects lined up for the next couple months. So yeah, check that out. It's on, you know, in any of the platforms, you know, you get your podcast.
Matt, you do an amazing job covering the NBA and the NBA draft, college basketball, and once again, man, we always appreciate your insight. Anytime you can share your insight with us, it's greatly appreciated.
No, feelings mutual. Appreciate you guys. Happy to come on anytime.
Thank you, Matt. Absolutely. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Enjoy basketball heaven there in Houston.
Yeah.
Interview the Thompson twins, huh?
Yeah.
Hold me now.
All right. Coming up next on Spears and Ali, let's talk about this Fast Times at Centurions event. And also, let's give away some tickets for that. If you want to go to Fast Times at Centurions High, stay tuned. More Spears and Ali coming up next.
I'm an Arizona Wildcat fan. You are an unabashedly inside in your gut an Arizona Wildcat basketball fan, but you won't admit it. because you're a coward. But let's move on, though. How about FAU in Tennessee?
How do we move on? You call me a coward.
But with love, with all due respect.
With all due respect. All right, Ricky, Bobby.
Wake up with Spears and Ali. Weekday mornings 7 till 9 on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD4 ESPN Tucson.
All right, in just a few minutes, we will be giving away some tickets for the Fast Times at Centurions High event. And we got a couple of guys joining us in studio to talk about it, Eric Jacobson and Andy Brown. How would you guys describe your title with the Centurions?
This year I'm the event chairman, and Andy is next year's event chairman.
Okay.
So he's my right hand this year. We put it on.
I lick envelopes for Eric. I write checks, things like that.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Whatever he tells me to do, I do.
Ali, you know these guys.
These guys are amazing, man. And, you know, for those that don't know, they should know, but let's educate them. Talk about the Centurions and what the mission of the Centurions is.
The mission of the Centurions is to better the children's lives in Southern Arizona. All our proceeds go to local Southern Arizona charities. Nothing leaves our area. And we really focus on children's health, education, and betterment of life. So every year we pick a different, smaller charity. And this year we have Assistance League of Tucson, Imago Dei Middle School, Grace Retreat Foster Care, and they train homes to become foster homes.
Yeah. Now, look, I don't want things to get violent here, but my co-host here is like absolutely a clown when it comes to watching really good movies. All of his pop culture comes from Family Guy. So he doesn't know Fast Times at Centurions High, what that means. He doesn't know who Spicoli is or Mr. Hand or the greatest pool scene of all time.
He brought up Spicoli and I looked like a foreigner at the DMV. I was like, just looking around like, what? What's going on now?
That's the generation who doesn't know who 38 Special is either.
Exactly. So talk about the party. It's so much fun. You guys do such a great time every year.
So we started off saying, hey, the Centurions are going back to school. And then the Fast Times at Centurion High thing kind of took off. But, you know, we're trying to incorporate Grease, Animal House, Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller, Revenge of the Nerds, all those movies that were school movies that we loved when we were younger.
Oh, that's awesome. Justin, you're the guy in the stairs playing the guitar for all of the co-eds, and I'm Bluto, and I'm going to break your guitar.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. Go watch the movies, pick your favorite costume, because we do a costume contest. Winners get out there, and it's fun. Everybody has a good time. You get food, you get drinks, you get entertainment. There's a casino. There's everything. You get the fun and games. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
We've got fireworks.
Fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, sign me up.
During the event or after the event?
During the event.
Oh, wow.
Man, costumes, fireworks. It's like Halloween and 4th of July wrapped up into one evening.
For $100, you get dinner, drinks, entertainment, live show, 38 Special. We've got a DJ from 6 to 9. We've got 38 Special from 9 to 10:30. And then the DJ comes back on. And in between all that, we've got gambling. We've got a VIP area. You can upgrade your ticket for an extra $100. You go in there, you've got top shelf liquor. Hors d'oeuvres, server. It's a great experience.
Well, you had Justin at dinner, and you had me at top shelf liquor and gambling. So
there you go.
That's good. So of all the years you guys have done this, is there one person that has worn a costume that it just stands out? Like you remember, like, oh, my God, that was one of the best costumes I've ever seen.
We're not going to talk about that.
No?
No.
No. Okay.
Andy and I wore the best costumes.
You did.
Our rookie year.
As you know, the rookies every year get a costume. Is that what you're referring to, or are you just referring to anybody?
Well, I was only referring to everybody, but now I know what you're talking about with the rookies.
So the rookies get to wear costumes, and in one year when Eric and I were rookies, it was the worst degrading costume we could possibly find.
Yeah, I recall that.
So it's changed quite a bit since then, but I tell you what, there's amazing costumes come out, right? We did the Comic-Con one year. That was crazy. We did Wizard of Oz, and our good friend Lamont Hunley dressed up as the Wiz, right? So he was awesome looking. Top hat, purple jacket. It was awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
So people get really good.
Go all out.
Of course, Lamont chose the Wiz, right? And I remember the costumes you guys had to wear. It was not of that caliber.
Right, dude, we burnt those too.
Every rookie class from ours forward can thank us.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Centurions generally. Like, tell us who it's comprised of and how long have you guys each been members of the Centurions?
Andy and I both joined in 2012. The Centurions are comprised of 100 active members, and we're a diverse group. You know, we've got lawyers, doctors, dentists, insurance guys, construction guys, security guys. We got a diverse group. And once a member goes senior life, we also have about 150 senior life members. After they've been in for so many years, they kind of roll out and make room for a new guy to come in.
Right.
And since we've started, we've raised like $8.5 million.
Yeah.
So holy cow. Charities.
Yeah, it's
it's pretty amazing, right?
It's a good thing.
How do you guys choose the charities where the money's going to go?
So they're nominated. We have a charity selection committee that's headed up by Brian Hanley, and he has a committee of guys.
And Brian's the executive director, right?
No, that would be Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen, okay.
Chris Hansen.
So Brian Hanley's the chair of the...
of the charity selection committee.
All right.
So guys
He's
can nominate...
He's a very popular guy in town.
Charities, and if they, you know, if they fit our mission,
yeah,
they're reviewed, and if they're selected, they get a gift.
Yeah, most of them are brought to the table by a Centurion, right? So you have some buy-in there. So then we whittle it down to the top three or four, and we actually make presentations to the committee. So as I nominated a certain charity, I actually get up and explain to them why I think we should give the money. So that's not just I'm picking it out of a hat. There's some buy-in with these guys, right?
That's great. Yeah.
So there's people we want to represent and give back to things we really care about. And that's what's cool.
Right, and it's all wow. focused on the youth in Southern yeah. Arizona, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm wondering though, you know, you come up with these charities. How do you guys come up with the certain movies? Like, do you guys all come
theme?
Up?
You mean our theme?
The themes,
theme
yes.
every year.
The
it's
theme
up
every
to the
year.
Chairman. So the chairman gets to pick. So Eric this year, and we all start this event, or we all start this membership. We all have in our minds what we want to do if we get an event. So I have been scheming for years about what I want to do.
Yeah.
And Eric's been doing it for years as well, so it just kind of falls in line.
So would it be premature and we'll be breaking news, Mr. Chairman-elect, if we asked you what you were thinking, maybe what couple top three choices?
I can't talk about it until Eric's is over.
I've already told Annie.
I can't.
We're not talking about 2024.
No, yeah.
He's like, don't worry about that.
It's under the bridge.
Okay. Right, so we got to take care of Eric's event. It's going to be awesome.
Right. Get your tickets at thecenturions.com. $100, great night. If you want the VIP, click on another $100.
So centurions.com, $100 gets you dinner, gets you drinks. There's gaming, there's a show. I mean, man, you can't go to a show for $100.
You can't. Yeah. You know, so we have the live band. We also have a special events area where there'll be a DJ and a dance floor for the younger folks that like that kind of music. And in there we've got arcade games, cornhole.
Oh wow.
Stuff to do.
And then if you want another an extra $100 for high rollers like Trujillo and Spears here,
yeah,
top shelf liquor, huh?
VIP, have a seat.
Tito's.
Somebody's gonna wait on you.
Yeah, blue label, some blue label.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Label, absolutely.
That's crazy. So I guess I didn't ask you a very very obvious question, and so I'm sorry. I've been remiss. Where is it?
Keno Sports Complex.
Oh wow.
April 29th, Keno Sports Complex. Gates open at 6 p.m.
We're actually giving away tickets. We've been giving them away all week long. We're giving them away right now. Caller number one at 719-1490. 719-1490 will get tickets to Fast Times at Centurion's
High. I wish you wouldn't have done that, because now that I know it's that the theme is more than just Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It includes Revenge of the Nerds and Animal House. I would have said the first caller to say to quote Bluto when he's giving his inspirational speech. Did we cower and run when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? But yeah, you got to give me some time, baby.
I know, sorry.
That's all right.
And if you're unfortunate, you can't get to the event, we have super raffle tickets you can buy online. Those are $100.
And oh, wow.
You have a 1 in 9 chance of winning.
All cash prizes.
All cash prizes.
They're all cash?
All cash prizes.
We have another raffle where you can win stuff.
Like what's a...
golf clubs, TVs,
spa packages,
mini refrigerators, staycations,
resort stays, yeah.
great prizes, and those are like $5 tickets.
Oh wow!
And they're on sale now online and night of the event. You'll be able to buy them.
I'm wondering the evolution of this event since you've been a member for what has been over a decade now.
Yeah, that's 2012 is 23. So
sorry,
over a decade.
I was doing math.
No, you did a great job.
Journalism major.
That's a great job. He actually listened to you though, so kudos to you guys.
Ollie says I have selective hearing.
I think this is we're approaching 60 years of doing this event.
They started in 1968.
Wow.
Wow.
A small group of guys, and I think they had a bowling tournament, and they raised some money for the St. Mary's Burn Center.
It's amazing.
And from then, it's grown and grown and grown. And we used to do it at different venues. And now it's got to a point where it's so large, there's very few venues that can facilitate us.
Wow. And having a Keno Sports Complex, it's really easy to park.
It's accessible.
Ingress, right. Egress is really easy. Yep. And you guys do a great job of, I mean, talk about the last few minutes we have here. How many days you guys spend preparing and getting things ready for the people of Tucson? Because so you guys are out there working.
The actual build starts on Wednesday. We'll lay everything out, and then we start building Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, everything has to be gone. So Sunday morning, we're all up, clearing the field, and it's got to be like it was when we got there.
Yeah, so if guys don't show up on Sunday to clean up, are they fined?
Not yet.
Mr. Chairman, I'm telling you, man.
I'm a proponent of that because
if somebody wants to pay $250 not to be there, we'll take the money. That's just more money to give the charity.
To come help work.
Yeah. Make sure Travis Tufts is there on Sunday.
Travis is good.
Travis is solid.
He's a lawyer at my law firm. One of my partners. He's a good Centurion.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, little mini George Bush.
Did you say W?
I think he just bought a field suite yesterday.
He did.
So that's another thing.
Well, I just bought a field suite yesterday. Yeah.
So with a field suite for $6,000, you get 20 general admission tickets and 20 VIP tickets that get you into the field suite area where you have your own tent, furniture,
hors d'oeuvres, private gaming,
servers. It's just like VIP, but you've got your own spot for your wives or girlfriends to come set down their purse, stroll. It's a
girlfriends, a plural.
So all my girlfriends will fit in there, huh?
Absolutely.
Now, you didn't mention, I'm a little bit disappointed. Travis said something about a chariot as I was going in. There's no chariot with
That's $12,000. You gotta buy two of those. I'll get you whatever you want.
Bamboozled.
We'll drop you in with a helicopter if you want.
I'm not going in a helicopter, buddy.
All right, guys, we got to go to commercial break, but that is Eric Jacobson and Andy Brown from Centurions. Fast Times at Centurions High, April 29th. Doors open at 6 o'clock at Keno Sports Complex.
You got it. Thanks for having us.
No, appreciate you guys. Thank you. All right, don't go anywhere. More Spears and Ali coming up next.
The question of where is Justin Spears
just got saucier.
Just got a little bit more interesting. Justin sent us a little video. Justin has no shirt on,
which is pretty standard.
There's a red light over his head and a towel around his neck.
And he's got a chain on.
And he's got a chain on. And he's supposedly listening to the show. So I have one thing to say to that. Justin!
There you go.
You don't have to put on the red lights! Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night. In the words of our friend Matt Martin,
Our good buddy Matt Martin, when you were singing, Justin.
Yeah.
You don't have to put on a red light.
No. Those days are over. You don't have to give your body to the night. Something like that.
For the
it was way better.
The Spears and Ali day ones, there was a time when I was away in San Diego, and Ali hosted the show by himself for a week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I got to tune in. I'm sitting in my grandfather's sauna.
Yeah, with a red light.
With a red light.
Gold chain.
Gold chain.
And a towel.
And a towel around my neck.
Is that the name of the
a towel?
The
exactly.
Parlor?
Because a towel around your neck. Russian oligarch style. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I know we joke about moons over your hammy, but I don't really want to see the moons over your hammies.
Getting all the good sweat.
Yeah.
No, there's also towels laid down. My grandfather's very strict about not having sweat in there. So you gotta
in a sauna?
Yeah. Seriously. So lay your towel down on the bench.
Don't sweat.
Put your feet on a towel on the floor, and then have a towel over your shoulder so if you lean back, you're not getting sweat on the wood.
Does he cover his couches in plastic, too?
He does not.
Okay, wow.
But
I mean, it just seems like that's kind of tough. Like, hey, so I can go in the sauna, but I can't sweat.
You can sweat. Yeah, you just got to be mindful of where you get it on. Well, but, yeah, there was a red light on, and I videoed myself saying, hey, guys, I'm listening. You're doing a great job. I'll be listening all week long. And then Ali.
And he ended it with, and I'm coming for you, John Wick.
And then Ali sings a different version of Roxanne. and replaces it with Justin and talks about red lights.
Well, I just think it's really interesting that you talked about where all the towels were, but now people understand there was not once did you mention there was a towel around your waist. Yeah, it was on the floor. It was on the bench. It was around your neck.
I'm wearing chonies.
Continue.
Yeah, we're chonies or shorts when you go into the sauna. You don't go butt naked.
Yes, you do.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You go butt naked in a sauna?
Or a towel around you, yeah.
A
towel around you.
Shorts. Always shorts.
You're never nude?
I mean, in public, yeah.
So you can't get sweat anywhere in the sauna, but you can sweat in your shorts, and then if the sweat in your shorts like accidentally hits a wall, now you got sweat on the wall.
But it's going on the towel.
What towel?
There's a towel on the bench that I'm sitting on.
Yeah. But the shorts have sweat on them.
They do.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's a, sweat catastrophe just waiting to happen.
Chafing's immense.
Yeah.
All right, later on ESPN Tucson this evening, we will have coverage of the Phoenix Suns-Minnesota Timberwolves game. Kevin Durant making his home debut with the Phoenix Suns. Got long time coming.
Minnesota been playing good basketball, too, so don't think that Kevin Durant's coming back and this is going to be a breeze. The Timberwolves are playing good basketball, and they're way better with Mike Conley at the point guard. He's actually been able to get Rudy Gobert the best out of him because he's got some experience with them being in Utah together.
It's facts, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that game. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. You can listen to it right here on ESPN Tucson. That'll do it for this episode of Spears and Ali. Coming on the show tomorrow, we're going to hear from Matt Moreno from Rivals, talk some Arizona football and basketball recruiting. Also, Johnny Venerable will call in to give us an update on the Arizona Cardinals. And Brendan Deeg from The Score will forecast where he thinks Lamar Jackson will land this offseason. All that and more coming on tomorrow. Spears and Ali. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Spears and Ali podcast. Do you want Spears and Ali unchained, unfiltered, uncensored? If you like the live show on ESPN Tucson, 1490 AM, 94.9 HD, Channel 4, and the ESPN Tucson mobile app, then you'll love Spears and Ali Overtime, where we discuss sports, culture, movies.
And enough with the gratuitous cussing, Justin. I mean, you don't have to always use words like and go yourself.
It's Spears and Ali Overtime. Subscribe, rate, and comment on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.